Romelu Lukaku is officially a Chelsea player and will be the club's new number 9. In this episode, we'll be talking about how he will turn Chelsea into title challengers again. Let me first of all introduce my guest, the man who never sleeps, the Lukaku transfer hunter, the one and only CFC Pais. Pais, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good, bro. It's the first time I've been on with you. I've done things with you before, but yeah, I'm glad to come on and talk about Lukaku. And yeah, it's true. I've been doing a lot of updates this summer for the fans and that. But yeah, it's a bit less busy, you know. So some days and then other days, it's, you know, loads of updates at once. So, But yeah, we'll see what happens over, you know, the rest of the window.
Think of today as your day off, you know, just relax, chill, have some sensations crisps, and then tomorrow you'll be back on the grind. You know, the transfer could be announced and any time now, really. Yeah. But, you know, let's get straight into the first topic. Let's not waste any time. Let's kind of start before, like, Lukaku was announced, his time at Inter Milan. A few years ago when he signed for Inter, obviously it didn't work out at Man United. Solskjaer preferred Rashford. He made him his main player up front, prioritised Martial, but he has improved leaps and bounds since leaving Man United. And I just want you to summarise quickly to all the listeners how he's improved tactically, mentally, and his numbers and stuff since he's kind of left, you know, the Premier League.
Yeah, I think in terms of tactically, Conte really helped him with that, right? And obviously, at Inter Milan also, he's lost quite a bit of weight. You know, he always had a lot of muscle, right? But Conte put him on a new diet and he had dietary problems at Man United. So he was a bit overweight there. But in terms of tactically, yeah, I think he can really suit all systems. You know, he can play as a lone striker. He can play in two up front as well. You know, if Tuchel wants to go with a 4-2-4 and play, you know, Havertz next to him, I think that would work. Yeah, he's improved a lot. Like, his overall game has improved so much as well. Like, just in terms of the touch as well, you know, there'll be an odd moment where his touch is a bit bouncy and stuff. But I think overall, he's just improved leaps and bounds. And, you know, even Rio Ferdinand was saying, I think last night on his YouTube channel that you know, he really does make us title contenders. We could even win it with him because he is really that top striker, you know, world-class striker. And that's what we needed this summer. So I'm glad we've got it for sure.
Same. Yeah, he's improved a lot since leaving. And the Conte diet thing, hopefully he can keep the same dietitian in London, maybe over, you know, Zoom like we're doing right now, or some other things. He can keep the same dietitian because, you know, the Lukaku that he's turned into, he's become much more agile, you know, much more better at dribbling around players than he was at United. He was kind of, I'd say, nice way to put it, kind of a lamppost there, but I get you a lot. He has improved. Yeah, let's move on to the kind of next question now. We obviously needed a forward. You know, you look at our metrics last year. The main stat that was missing was goal scored. We were first in chances created, first in all them kind of, you know, creative numbers. And you look at our attack, we have all these creators like Ziyech, Pulisic, Timo Werner, I feel is a creator, Mason Mount, Kai Havertz, and we just needed that goal scorer, not your, in my opinion, the Danny Ings, your other players. We needed a world-class goal scorer in this team. But I want to get from your opinion how happy you are that we have finally signed a striker of this calibre.
Oh, over the moon. Like, for me, all of the summer, I really wanted either Haaland or Lukaku. Those were my main two. Lewandowski popped up. I was like, you know what, that would be a really, really good sign as well, because he is a world-class striker as well. But I really sort of, we seem to get linked with him and like Cavani. You know, Cavani was, since he joined Man United, but the previous windows, it was always linked with him and Lewandowski, and it's kind of a weird one, but they never really came to fruition. But yeah, Lukaku for sure, man. As you said, we've got all these players around him that are going to feed him chances. And if he gets the same amount of chances that Werner got, could score a lot of goals, you know, like 25 plus easy. It's just going to be interesting to see if we sort of play even better than last season as well. Like, because I think as well, a lot of people aren't mentioning the fact that our young forwards should only get better, really. Like, even Werner, right? Werner had a pretty poor season for his standards. He's still got a few assists and stuff, but, you know, his overall game, he should improve. Like, he really should. He's got to improve as well, because, you know, the pressure will be on him. Chelsea won't stick around with him for too long, I don't think. I think even The Athletic have kind of mentioned that this is his season to really show what he's about, otherwise he might get shipped off. So I think Werner is going to be an important one, because, as you said, he does seem to get a lot of assists more than goals, which is kind of weird. But the thing I'm most... You have, you know, Lukaku... going to be on the end of things. You know, we've got variety as well. If we want to start crossing the ball more, you know, we don't really cross the ball under Tuchel, but if Rhys James wants to start spam crossing, as people would say, like he did under Lampard, then, you know, he's going to score a lot of goals because he's the perfect man in the middle. You know, he's got a fantastic ability in the air, but he also is just deadly at attacking crosses. So, yeah, it really, really does feel good. Like, it really does. Like, I can't wait to. We really can't. He's really the perfect striker for us as well. Because I think if you look back at our recent history, you know, Costa, Drogba, these sort of big physical strikers, they don't flop at Chelsea. They're the traditional, you know, strikers that always really do well here. So, yeah, I'm definitely gassed for it, man.
Yeah, me too. And some great points. I mean, the Rhys James point, that kind of leads on to the next question. Which player will Ron benefit the most in this team? Let me kind of name some of them. Hakim Ziyech, you've seen the amount of crosses he played last year to, I'm not trying to dig him out, but Tammy Abraham, he couldn't really attack them. I remember the Newcastle away, he missed a few chances. The Bournemouth game, very recently, he missed a few chances. But I feel like Ziyech could really, really, you know, flourish. Players like Havertz, he works so well. He scored, I think, 19 goals in the Bundesliga at the age of 18 behind Kevin Volland. So many players could benefit. Like you said, Rhys James, Hudson-Odoi with his crossing ability. But it's crazy thinking about it. But I want to get from your kind of viewpoint, which player out of all of those lists I mentioned, or even another one like you mentioned before, which player will Ron benefit the most out of our attack, midfield, anywhere on our team?
Yeah, this is a hard question to answer because off the face of it, I would say probably someone like Ziyech. But the problem is I don't think he's going to play a lot because really, I think even Tuchel, I think, will play Mount, Romelu Lukaku and Havertz as our main front three. And then this is the thing with us. We've got so much depth that it's truly hard to answer this question because we don't know what's going to happen with injuries, who comes into the team if that happens, you know. So, but I think off the face of it, I would say Ziyech just because of his, you know, crossing ability. But then again, I think someone like Havertz, even Mount could really thrive because Mount likes to, you know, drive with the ball and try and use the striker as you know, 1-2 layoffs. He did it quite a lot with Giroud. And I think if him and Lukaku can make a really good partnership, I think Mount could really, really thrive off it. I don't think there's a nailed on one that's going to be, you know, this is the guy that's going to, you know, benefit the most. But I think it will just be an overall positive influence, I think, from Lukaku on all of our attackers, I think. The only one that I would say maybe not is probably Werner, just because, I don't know, I don't really see him as a kind of like a link-up player, you know what I mean? Like, if he gets the ball on the left, I don't really see him playing it into the feet. And then I hope I'm wrong, but, you know, because of the benefit of Chelsea, but I don't really see a Werner Lukaku thing, you know, working. I feel like that'd be a bit messy. I don't know. He's not really... You know, Lukaku's good, but he's not the most technical of players, and neither is Werner, clearly. So I don't really see that working. But yeah, I'll just end off my answer by saying I think it'll be an overall positive influence on the likes of, you know, Pulisic, Ziyech, Mount, Havertz, etc. I don't think there's one in particular that stands out.
Yeah, fair play. And that kind of leads us on to the next question. Again, I like how you're kind of linking these together. Much easier to present. And you mentioned Timo Werner won't benefit, but if you remember at Red Bull Leipzig, obviously I'm not comparing Lukaku to, you know, Patrick Schick, to Yusuf Poulsen, but even though they weren't technical players in front of him, they used kind of Timo Werner as a guy who can run in behind, who can get on flick-ons, who can get in the pockets and hold up defenders. You know, if Lukaku is dropping deep to win the ball, he'll drag a defender with him, and most likely he will win that duel, which will leave the space for Werner to run into that centre-back position, if you get what I'm saying. So say it's Lewis Dunk and Aaron Webster. Lewis Dunk comes to track Lukaku to man-mark him. Then it will leave a massive gap for Webster, you know, for Werner to exploit that. So you don't think that could be a benefit for Timo Werner if he could get into that space and use Lukaku as a vocal point in the team?
Maybe, but then again, I mean, if you know me from other channels and stuff, I'm not really the biggest fan of Werner. Like, he seems to get a lot of space last season, a lot of opportunities where he had to run into space, or his runs made him, you know, have a lot of space. But then it's kind of when you get that space, what does he do? You know, because he's not a good dribbler. He only really seems to, you know, be effective when there's a runner ahead of him as well. And he kind of plays that ball across, like, you know, the Ziyech goal against Madrid, even the Havertz one in pre-season, right? Werner wasn't going to take that guy on, but he saw, you know, someone else running on and he played it through to him. That's where he can be effective. But if it's just Werner, you know, one-on-one, then I don't have any confidence in him because he's not a good dribbler. And yes, he's got pace, but even if he gets past him, his finishing last season was terrible. So I hope he can improve. And I'm really negative with Werner because I just expected so much more from him, to be honest. And yeah, I don't want to be a really big hater on him, but I don't know. I don't have much confidence in him, but I can kind of see your point. It's just whenever I've seen Werner in space, it's kind of like, you know, I get really excited and then I'm like, oh, it's gone already. The opportunity's gone. He's messed it up again. You know what I mean? So yeah, we'll see what happens next season. It could be effective, but he's got to improve his dribbling and just his decision making as well. Like, I don't know. Sometimes if he kind of like runs into space, he'll stall a bit, don't know what he's doing, then he'll run down the line and it'll go off like a goal kick or something. You know what I mean? Like, he just kind of seems, he doesn't really know what to do unless there's an obvious pass on. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see if that, you know, if he improves and if it does benefit him, but yeah, I don't have much confidence personally in them.
Yeah, you don't seem like the biggest Timo Werner fan. You know, I do have a Timo Werner shirt, so hopefully I'm not going to wear that on the stream or on in the future. But anyways, a bit more on that. Timo Werner, like you said, when Havertz was there, Lukaku could be that player. But if Lukaku's dropping deep and Timo Werner needs someone to pass to, he's deep. He's not going to be in the Havertz position. But maybe that's where, you know, a Mount could come in, a Havertz, like you mentioned. And it could be nice, but I'm just trying to pick at straws here with Timo Werner, trying to pick out the best of him. But I could see that's where Pulisic could come into fruition. If Lukaku's dropping deep, Pulisic's a very good one-on-one dribbler. And, you know, he's a dark horse, I feel, that a player that Lukaku could help. But yeah, very, very fair points. And you mentioned a few players that you don't think will work with Lukaku. You mentioned Timo Werner, but let's kind of move away from the Timo Werner kind of talk right now. Hakim Ziyech, yeah, but Mason Mount, I'm not sure if Mason Mount could really link up with Lukaku very well. Just from what I've heard on the Straight Outta Corbin podcast, a few other things, I want to get your thoughts on this. You think that Mason Mount will really be the right guy? Or I feel like he likes to be the main guy in possession. So how do you kind of see this partnership working out?
Well, I think I'm not comparing him to Hazard, obviously, but remember when Hazard used to play off the left and Mount's very similar to the fact that he'll get the ball and he'll like, His main attempt is, you know, his main goal is to try and get the ball into the goal, obviously, and attack the space very, very quickly. So I feel like with Lukaku backing into defenders, kind of like how Hazard and Giroud used to, he can maybe play the ball to feet and then Lukaku can lay it off and then Mount gets into the box very quickly. Like, we see this last season quite a lot where he was so attacking, even though he played on that left side where he just wanted to take people on. I feel like he's very good at dribbling. I feel like he's underrated in that department. I feel like he does get past a lot of players very good and very easily. He's fast as well. People don't underestimate how fast Mount is. He's very, very fast. And I feel like his decision-making is getting better. Like, I can just see it working with the fact that when Mount's out on the left and he's in a one-on-one situation, he'll either beat him or he'll fizz that ball into the box where Lukaku is. And Lukaku's very, very good box striker. Like, he can score tap-ins. His positioning's fantastic. He's always going to be there. So I see that working the same way as I do with Kai. But Kai, I don't really expect him to be driving into the box, taking people on one-on-one. Mm-hmm. He's kind of more the flair player. You know, he'll move about and then you'll be like, wow, he's there and he's scored. You know what I mean? Whereas Mount is more, he's really direct. You know, he wants to get at people. So I feel like it'll work just in the fact that I feel like Mount will get so many assists to Lukaku, and I feel like he'll use him as a base point to play off of as well, because I think Lukaku's just so strong, you know, backing into defenders. As I said, I can just see it like kind of like how Giroud used to work with Hazard, really. Just, you know, I really do think that they'll work well together because Mount is young as well, and I feel like he has a very good understanding with anyone he plays. So, yeah, you know, even someone like Chilwell as well, bombing down the left flank, you know, when he does the overlaps, Lukaku in the box, Chilwell good at low and high crosses. There's so many opportunities for Lukaku to score next season. That's why I'm so happy about the move, because a lot of the time, you know, you were talking about Lukaku dropping deep. A lot of the time, we don't even have to do that with the striker. You know, the other players do that. Jorginho Kante pick the ball up, then play the ball forward. We're a very direct team. We have the width with the fullbacks. You know, there are always options. We either play it down the flank or, you know, we try and score through the middle. So, Yeah, there's just so many options, man. That you know, I'm just so excited because he's the perfect box striker. He doesn't have to do much. He just has to, you know, wait there, wait for loose rebounds and stuff. Yeah. Werner had so many. Like, prime example, right? To finish my point off, Spurs friendly. I remember Werner had a chance. I think it was in the second half. It was in the second half. The ball came in the box. He touched it. He volleyed it straight wide. And I was like, how did you miss that? In the box. Like, how? Lukaku scores that 10 out of 10. He's never, ever missing that chance. He doesn't. Lukaku very rarely fluff shots. He might sky one over because he's the exact opposite of scuffing. He's a very powerful striker, and that's what we need in the box. Someone who's deadly, and that's what we're going to get.
So you're kind of saying that Giroud, kind of like Costa and Hazard back in, was it 16-17, where them two were, you know, the two of the front players in a 3-4-3, and they kind of worked off each other very well. So Mount and Lukaku could be the new Costa and Hazard to a less extreme kind of way, but you know, great points again. Like you said, I don't want to become spam cross FC like we saw, you know, this first half of last season. We saw a lot under our previous management team. I don't want us to just rely on Lukaku for his aerial ability. I think we can still use him the same way we use some of our other front players, but he provides so many different dimensions that we can't even think of. You know, before we used to see like Reece James, he never really crossed under Thomas Tuchel. He would kind of hold back, play it backwards, but now he's seen the Belgian gunman in the box to cross it to, even Hudson-Odoi. We see the amount of times he tried to cross to Abraham, crossed it even the Wolves 0-0 game at home, Thomas Tuchel's first game, the amount of time Hudson-Odoi crossed him, there was nobody there to attack it. So, yeah, I get what you mean. He can add so many different dimensions to our game, but let's kind of embed some of these Twitter questions now. We'll start with MK Johnson. And this is kind of, I say, a touchy subject a little bit in the fan base, but well, let's be real that, you know, let's speak facts here. Do you guys feel Abraham will be worth loads in the future and Chelsea could go after him? Like, we're going to say no now, Pies, but I just have a feeling he will go out to Roma. Well, it looks likely now. He will have a mad spell at Roma. He'll go on. He'll be a mad striker and Chelsea will come fishing again. Do you feel like that with Abraham, or are you convinced he's not going to be a world-class striker one day?
I've never thought he'd be a world-class striker. I thought he'd be a good, solid striker. But I feel like he has too many deficiencies in his game to be a world-class striker. And it's going to have to take the right club and the right team and the right manager who specifically focuses on him to make him into that. Like, yeah, like, as I said, like, his touch, for one, is just really, really bad. For a tall striker, he's one of the worst heading I've ever seen, like, genuinely. And this really confuses me because before he came to Chelsea and he was at Aston Villa, I mean, you know, before he came into the first team, he was at Aston Villa on loan. I was watching, you know, most of his goals. Like, Aston Villa put a thing up of all his goals in, you know, the season and stuff like that. And I was like, this guy scores so many headers. And I was like, this could be really good. And then he comes to Chelsea and he can't head the ball. And he's been like that ever since he's played for us in the first team. So, yeah, I don't know. Like, even his finishing is not, you know, his finishing is not world-class by any matter, you know, an extreme. You know, it's not. Yeah, I just feel like he has a lot of deficiencies. Maybe in like 5 years, he could be a completely different player. But I mean, by then, God knows who we'll have, who will be up front for Chelsea, you know what I mean? I only think we buy him back if we're in like a bit of a rut at that time. But it's just so hard to predict. I see people talking about he's going to be the next Lukaku, Salah, De Bruyne. I don't put him in that at all. I don't ever see that. Like, yeah, I just personally, I don't, and I never have done. So yeah, I think that'd be my answer.
Yeah, good answer again. And you could say he's 23, 24, 23, something in that kind of 20 bracket. He has 5 years to develop into, you know, his prime at Lukaku now. But like you, from what I've seen with my eye test, Lukaku, when he was 20 years old at West Brom, he looked absolute class. And what you've made Abraham now is not the same kind of player, but I do.
So powerful as well, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So powerful, you know. It was Lukaku at West Brom was so powerful and direct, whereas Tammy's just really tall and skinny. Like, he needs to proper, I don't know, like, gain strength, obviously, but it's kind of weird because his build is kind of hard to do that. Like, he's always going to be skinny. You can't just get. Like, you can get really big shoulders, obviously, but he's going to have to, I don't know, maybe beef out a bit, maybe put some weight on. I don't know. You know, it's kind of, his build is very, weird for a striker. Like, his build is kind of like a target man, you know, kind of like a Veghorst, or kind of like that Sasa Kalajdzic guy we keep, you know. He scores so many headers because he's really tall and skinny, but Lukaku doesn't score many. Tammy doesn't score many headers. So it's like, what, you know, Tammy's build just doesn't make sense. Like, I don't know. I feel like he needs to focus on one area, but yeah, it really, really weird for Tammy, I think. His future's definitely going to be interesting.
It is. And the first season, especially when he came in at Chelsea, I thought he was going to be... I did make a statement back when we played against Wolves. He's going to be the next Drogba, but we forgot about that. We don't talk about that anymore. He obviously has not come to that, you know, especially... I do remember the Tottenham game this season. We drew 0-0. He dropped a disaster class. And from what I'm seeing, even live in the stadium, he doesn't look like he has a target man stature, especially when you're that tall. You don't have the pace. You don't have the, you know, the agility. You have to have the strength and the heading to get up to the top level. And apart from a Wolves header and Aston Villa header in his first season, he hasn't scored many headers. His strength is not quite there. He can't hold up many defenders in the Premier League. So, yeah, I do get what you mean. But, yeah, let's move back on to the main topic of this podcast, Romelu Lukaku. Manhandle CFC asks, we all know Lukaku for his power and goals, but what is one attribute that you say was underrated? This is a great question. So, you know, you can give your answer on this, Pice.
Yeah, it's a great question. I did a stream with him the other day. He's a really nice guy. So
yeah,
thanks for asking that, Jonathan. Yeah, I think this is a really difficult one. I think probably based on his time at Inter Milan, I would probably say I was even going to say he's dribbling in tight spaces because I feel like he's improved that so much. I saw that in the Euros as well. Like whenever I watch Manchester United, he couldn't really get out of a tight space. But when I was watching him now, like he's so much better with his feet than he once was. So I feel like in terms of dribbling or just the use of his feet is really underrated nowadays. I mean, also his link-up play, I guess, because with Lautaro, I mean, how good was he? His chance creation as well. He was pretty much, yeah, he was top on everything, I think, for Inter Milan. I've seen that graphic. I've seen that graphic on Twitter, actually. So yeah, I think in terms of chances created, like people think he's just this brute goal scorer, but he's kind of adding this into his game now where he can create chances for others and really use his decision-making attributes as well to play in others, you know, on counter-attacks as well. I think we're going to be very, very scary. I mean, I was watching some highlights from Chelsea Real Madrid at home just earlier, actually, with the Kante masterclass. It was on Twitter and I was just... When Kante broke the ball up, we had so much space. Like, we literally, Madrid would go forward, Kante would win the ball or intercept it, bang, we was off. Like, Lukaku on, if he gets the ball, Lukaku on that counter is going to be scary with Havertz and Mount. Like, if those two are the ones mainly playing. So, yeah, I feel like his link up with those two on transitions could be mental. Like, I really do. I think his decision making is very underrated.
Yeah, that's a good one. The dribbling, especially, I've seen in the highlights at Inter Milan. And the link-up player, Lautaro, you know, even Hakimi, he made him look like a great, great player. And the last kind of question of this podcast before we kind of wrap things up, Matt Jable asks, this is a fair question. What is his weakness? He must have a weakness, Pies. We can't say he's a perfect striker. He would be scoring like 90 goals a season if he was. But what do you think is a weakness in Lukaku's game that we might be wary of at Chelsea?
Very, very hard to pick out one because he's a world-class striker and he's got pretty much every attribute. But I don't know. I would probably still say his touch. I think his touch isn't, you know, it's not Messi-like. That's for sure. Like, there'll be occasions where, you know, the ball will be fizzing to him and it might kind of be like a Werner touch where it goes a bit off and you know, he's kind of chasing the ball. But I feel like in that sense, he can just use his strength and his pace to retrieve the ball if he does mess up anyway. So it's very, very hard to think of a weakness because, you know, if you're looking at all the key attributes, finishing, yeah, that's top. His strength is top. He's fast. He's good at link up. He's good in the air. You know, what else you want from a striker? So,
exactly.
Yeah, his positioning and movement. His movement's fantastic as well. His run making, you know, he's always been good at that. So, yeah, I would probably just say his touch, but even that he's improved on. But yeah, it's very, very hard to pick out a solidified weakness, to be honest. I mean, maybe every once in a while, you know, I've seen a few like Belgian guys that I spoke to that they'll say once in a while you're missing absolute sitter. But what I say to that is, well, Werner, we've just had a whole season of him missing sitters. So do I really care if Lukaku misses an open goal in 5 minutes and then scores two anyway in the game? No, I don't. I don't care about that at all. I only care when he costs us the game, which I don't think he's going to do. Maybe except, you know, one or two games a season. So, yeah, I just... It's very, very hard to pick out a weakness, man, because he really is like one of the most complete strikers in the world. Like, that's what everyone's saying as well. Is like, you can get a Haaland, but Haaland's raw. He's great at finishing, but he's not prem proven. You know, he's strong, but like, there's just, he's still raw. He's not complete yet. Lukaku is complete. He's in his prime years. So it's like, for me, it's him, Harry Kane and Lewandowski who are the best strikers in the world, personally, for me, because they're all so complete. There's no real solidified weakness in any of them.
Yeah, I agree with your top three again. And like you said, there's not many. I'd say if we were to be hypercritical, maybe it's defending. It's not. He's not someone you can stick a centre-back, but I'm sure he'd still do a good job. But even his heading from set-piece is going to be a massive bonus, you know, to stay back from corners, almost what Drogba used to do at Chelsea. So, yeah, there's not many weaknesses, Matt, but, you know, great question. But, yeah, we've answered the 12 questions we've gone through. It's been a great discussion with Pius and, you know, I'm so gassed Lukaku is going to be leading our line. Just to finish off with you, Pius, I just want to say thank you for taking your time out of your really busy day to come on the pod. And, you know, anything you'd like to say, how you've enjoyed being on the podcast, anything about Lukaku, it's your time now.
Yeah, it's been great, bro. I mean, I always love discussing Chelsea and yeah, you're really good at your stuff. So for sure, I've enjoyed it. And yeah, just been good to break down, you know, the whole Lukaku situation, his style and his strengths, and we struggled a bit with the weakness because I feel like we are getting a very, very good all-round striker and he's going to be unreal. But yeah, let's just hope he bangs for us. And I've got no doubts over this transfer. Like a lot of transfers, I'm like, oh, he's not very good at that, or you know, maybe this will affect him, or maybe this, or, you know what I mean? I because I'm very critical, so I'm kind of like that anyway. Like even with Havertz, I was like, you know, is he going to be as good as dribbling as he is in the Bundesliga? You know, there was a lot of things with each transfer that I can pick out as well as being positive. But with this Lukaku one, it's one of the transfers, one of the only transfers really where I'm like, wow, like this is serious. And that's why we've paid 100 million, because the club clearly feel like he warrants that price tag. And I do too. So yeah, I've enjoyed being on, and hopefully I can come on again soon over something different. And yeah, I'm sure we will talk again soon, bro.
Yeah, thanks so much for taking the time out of your day, just so people, I said earlier, and you'll definitely be on again soon for maybe some more transfer news, some more tactical analysts and stuff like that. But yeah, I'm going to wrap up the pod now, guys. Thanks for listening. We'll see you on the next episode, and make sure to keep things perfect.